Well, I've heard many pastors say that it's difficult to pray to preach at holidays, especially important holidays like Resurrection Sunday, Christmas, and even Palm Sunday. The reason for that is because I suppose after you preach year in and year out, it's hard to avoid repeating yourself. And it just so happens that this is the fourth straight year when I get to have an English language message on Palm Sunday. But I trust that the Lord is going to give us something new and applicable for our lives and important for us. And in addition to that, I have another thing that gives me hope. And that is, I am sure that you don't remember the things I talked about in previous years. How do I know that? It's because I didn't remember most of what I said. I had to go back and look and try to come up with something new from the Word of God. And the Word of God is so rich and it has so much to tell us that we'll never really run out of things to learn and things to apply to our lives. I'd like to start by reading from John chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 16, the same text that's going to be used for the Romanian language sermon. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to John 12:12 and follow along. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate the triumphal entry of your Son in Jerusalem. We pray that you have something, a word for us tonight, that you would speak to our hearts and to our minds. And Father, you know that I have nothing at all to tell the people in front of me. But if it is your will to use your word to apply it through the Holy Spirit to their lives, I pray that you will do that tonight. Amen. Amen. I think we all know what the significance of Passion Week is. Passion Week is a very important week in the Christian calendar, and I would say it is the most important week in the Christian calendar. Passion Week begins on Sunday, like this Sunday, and then it ends a week later, on the following Sunday. It begins with Jesus' triumphal entry in Jerusalem. He's welcomed by people in Jerusalem. But then he goes on and has some arguments with the religious leaders of Israel, who eventually have him arrested and have him ultimately crucified. And of course, on Sunday, the following Sunday, Jesus rose gloriously from the dead, and he conquered death and accomplished the mission that his Father had given him. I'd like you to follow along with me in the text in the next few minutes, and I'd like us to look at the crowd and the king. I'd like you to see several things in this text about the crowd and then several things about the king. Look at what the text John says about the crowd. Four things. First of all, it says that it was a great crowd. The next day, the great crowd that had come. It was a large crowd. During the time of Jesus, Jerusalem had somewhere between 250 to 300,000 people. But during this celebration time, during festival times, this population increased to about 3 million, 2 to 3 million people. Now imagine this. Imagine you walk into your favorite coffee shop, and instead of seeing 12 people there, There's 120 people in there. That's what Jerusalem was like during these times. It was a very busy, a very crowded place. There were many people who had come from Galilee, and Jesus was popular there. Jesus had a ministry. Most of his ministry was in Galilee. Part of it was in Judea, and just a small part of the ministry of the Lord took place in Jerusalem. But people from Galilee were there, and Jesus was very well known and popular in that place because of all the work and all the miraculous works he had done there and all the teaching he had given the people. So the crowd was a great crowd, but notice that it says in the text that they had come to the festival. That means that they were a religious crowd. They were a religious crowd. The festival, of course, is Passover, and it's an important, a very important Jewish holiday. They were there to get ready for that time of celebration. They had a duty to God, and they were willing and ready to fulfill it. That's a good thing, of course. Not only were they it was a great crowd and a religious crowd, but it was an informed crowd. It says that they heard Jesus was on his way. So many people today live in their own little world. They don't know what's going on around them. Not so those people. They were actually aware of what was going on and the fact that Jesus was going to come to town. And the fourth thing that I'd like you to notice, let's look at verse 13. This was a welcoming crowd. Verse 13 says, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Of course, Hosanna means save or Lord, save now. But over time, that phrase started or got to mean to be a word of praise, a praise for God. That's what it had become over time. You see that they appeared to receive Jesus the right way. It looked from all appearances, they received him the right way. I wonder if today's crowds, perhaps in churches, are like that. Like this crowd. Maybe they're large because their friends are there. Is that the way we are? Maybe they're religious because they understand that they need to serve God. It's true, we have to serve God. Maybe they're informed. Today's crowds are informed because they know things about God and all kinds of religious things. And they're also welcoming to God because we worship in seemingly such a devoted way, right? Everybody is excited about worshiping God, much like those people received their king. Now, I'd like you to look at what the text says about the king. That's the crowd. Now, let's look at the king. The king, we learn, and I'd like us to consider three things. Number one, he was meek. This was a meek, a humble king who came in riding on a donkey. But he was also peaceful. He was non-aggressive. You know, kings returning from war would ride into town on a horse. But when a king would approach the city in peace, the king would ride on a donkey. So Jesus came in to Jerusalem and approached Jerusalem this way, in a very peaceful, in a very non-aggressive, non-combative manner. That was his way of approaching the city. The king was meek, he was peaceful, but he was also contemplative. He was reflective. Did you notice that Jesus didn't say much? He didn't really actually say anything at all to the crowd. Isn't that strange? Jesus was a master public speaker, and yet he had nothing to say to the crowds. Maybe it's because he had mixed feelings. On the one hand, what was going on there was right. Those people were praising him, were worshiping him, were welcoming him. And that was right because they were his people. That was his city. Everything was done rightfully to him. But on the other hand, he knew that Israel would not receive him once they would understand his plans. And that was, his plan was to die as a sacrifice for sin. His immediate plan was not to overthrow the Romans. I'd like you to notice what Jesus does say at some point, but this is likely not to the crowd, but just to the, just mostly to himself, and also to those who were around him, who heard him. Luke, who is a very careful historian, records in chapter 19, verse beginning with verse 41, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from you. The days will come," and this is a remarkable prophecy that was fulfilled about 35 to 40 years later, exactly like this. "The days will come when you, your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." What happened on Palm Sunday? Do you know what happened? 400 years earlier, the glory of God had departed from Israel. But now Jesus was returning to Israel, and they did not know that God was visiting them. That's probably one of the most tragic things that ever happened in history. That's why Jesus is quiet. He's reflective, doesn't have much to say. Do you see the problem? Do you see the problem between the crowd and the king? Do you see that there is a great disconnect here? What really happened, what was really happening, and what the people hoped would happen are two different things. Well, how about this crowd? But the question is really, what about you? What about us? Because in the end, it's not the crowd and the king, but it is you and the king. It's really you face to face with God the Creator. It's you face to face with Jesus the Savior, with Jesus the King. And that's what really matters. What is your response to His calling? What do you expect from God? What are your expectations of Him? And what is His expectation of you? Because in the end, that's the only thing that really matters, what He expects of you. That's what matters. That's what counts. What does God expect from you? Well, I think we all know. If you are an unbeliever, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, God tells you clearly, listen, I can stand here and anybody, any preacher can stand here and invite you to come to God. But God doesn't do that. God commands you to repent. That's how God operates. He's the Creator, and He wants your ultimate best, and that's what He wants for you. He wants you to have eternal life. For that, you have to trust in Christ and repent of your sins. And that's what God says. That's what He expects from you. But that's not all. Don't take this lightly. Don't come to Christ just for the sake of coming to Christ. Come to Christ if you're ready to take up your cross and follow Him. Otherwise, you're not His and you're not His disciple for sure. But if you do, and if you have come to Christ, then be willing to serve Him, to live according to His standards, according to what He says. The crowd and the king is really not the crowd and the king, but it is you and the king. Where do you stand in your relationship to the king today?